Good afternoon. I am Millie Hurt, your Vice President of the National Women's Affordable Housing Network and your host today for Why WAN. So welcome to Why WAN, where we're going to dive into the heart of the Women's Affordable Housing Network. Join us as we uncover the inspiring stories behind the founding members and dedicated volunteers who are the driving force behind WAN. Get ready to explore the passion, purpose, and unwavering commitment that fuels our mission to create affordable housing and empower the women within our industry as we do it. Let's hear firsthand why they started or joined onto WAN and the transformative impact it's making in women's lives and communities. Get ready to be inspired by the hard work, resilience, and unstoppable passion driving our mission at WAN. There are bound to be some laughs and tears and probably some goosebumps along the way, so we can't wait to share our story as it's being written. I am here today with none other than Angie Truitt and Sadie Knott, two of the founding board members of the National WAN. Good afternoon, ladies. How are you?
Hey, Millie.
Sadie, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited to be here. As I shared before we started recording, this is my first podcast.
And yeah, mine as well.
Yeah, we're all newbies here, so they'll hopefully take pity on us a little. Angie, why don't you tell us your role specifically, because it's a huge one. You are like the absolute brilliance behind all things brand, WAN, creative, beautiful.
I love this nice big buildup, Millie. I joke with everybody that when I got my marketing degree back in 1994, the internet didn't exist, and so it didn't really count. But I volunteered to join WAN as VP of Communications, and that entails just about any way that we speak to the outward world about WAN. Website content, LinkedIn, email content, branding, shirt design, all those fun things.
I'm just going to throw it out there because you guys know we're super cheap. You're the bomb.com now. Yeah. So I don't know. We'd be dead in the water without you. So thank you for all that you do. You make us look absolutely fabulous and fun. You pull it all together and there's a lot that goes behind that. I'm going to dive into that because I don't even think people understand how much is behind the scenes. But before I do that, Sadie, tell us, how did you get on the national board?
Yeah, I was thinking about the beginning of my WAN career, I'll call it.
Your WAN origin story.
WAN origin story.
Like a superhero. Yeah.
And Millie, you might remember you were a part of this. So just to back up for a second, I'm the national secretary of WAN, a WAN board member, along with these other two ladies. But prior to holding that role, I helped to found the North Carolina chapter of WAN, NCWAN, which technically had its first event in 2019. I want to say like September 2019, had one more event in February 2020 before the world shut down and then everything was forever changed. But Millie, I don't know if you remember this. So my first exposure to WAN was in Atlanta with the original chapter, and I met Ashley Northcutt there and my head exploded from excitement and ideas. But I think I talked to you as well, Millie, because Ohio WAN was pretty new. And man, I just got so jazzed about everything. And I wanted North Carolina to have a chapter and then got looped in with all of y'all. And the rest is history.
It is. And well, we're still writing our history, but it has been a ride for sure. Would you have dreamed, because we formed the national board because of the experience of yourself, Julia, Ashley, myself, Angie coming on as our person that could actually do all the things and make those ideas come to fruition. But when we look at like today and where we're at in just what, 3 years? I mean, I absolutely pinch myself. Like, how does that feel when you're like, oh, we're in some formation of like 35 state chapters?
It is wild because that first year, it was just us. I felt like we were in a haze the whole year trying to figure out how to set the stage for this because we knew that we had to give people who wanted to start a chapter a way to do it. You guys put so much blood, sweat, and tears into launching your chapters and doing it on your own, figuring it out as you went. And we wanted to have those chapter starter kits ready to go. So that first year was just so much behind the scenes. But then as soon as we put it out there that we were launching, it seemed like it took off like a spark, almost wildfire. An uncontained wildfire. Yeah, it was. It remains astonishing to me that it has gone as fast and furious as it has, and it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have had very similar thoughts, especially lately as we are planning for our WAN Summit, our first standalone multi-day event. And also just thinking about these podcasts going from gathering as a board for the first time in 2020 on Zoom, wondering when we would be able to actually meet and put things together in person, to just the incredible support and excitement that we've been met with out in the general public. Super inspiring. And yeah, never would have dreamt it. Absolutely.
Not in this short of amount of time. We were like, oh, maybe 10 chapters per year. I actually put that out, I think, as like a really lofty goal. Like, oh, that sounds like, you know, maybe if we can get our crap together. But I agree. I think I remember, like, I was like renovating my house and in the background, and we were just hours we spent. We met weekly, early in the morning or late at night sometimes. Like, the amount of work that went into the policies, the procedures, like all the background stuff, I look back on it was like incredible. Of course, we changed a lot of it as we've gone on and gotten like better, but laying that foundation, yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was so fun. I couldn't imagine doing it with anyone else but you guys.
It's a great bonding experience. And Millie, do you remember? I remember wandering around at TAP, the Texas Housing Conference. We had just kind of launched our board, and I made some little makeshift business cards that I took with me. And I was telling everybody, this is coming, this is coming. And people were so excited. Fast forward just 1 year, and how many people? Do we have, what, 300 people at their inaugural luncheon for the Texas WAN chapter? Millie, it was insane. In 1 year's time, that happened. And people came up to me who remembered me wandering around like a lost little puppy saying, this is coming, and saying, it's incredible how fast this launched. So,
yeah, I think a lot of that is brand awareness. Like, you did such an awesome job. Like, we wear pink at conferences. We like stand out, not like a sore thumb, but like a bright light, I think. And something that obviously was like much, much needed. But how did you come up with some of the like branding? Like, what was your thinking behind some of that?
I think our tone, and starting with the Atlanta chapter, as you mentioned, the OG original WAN chapter, has always been fun, welcoming, still professional, but casual. You know, you want to spend time with us as WAN chapters. It doesn't feel like a heavy organization. It's nowhere near, you know, some professional organizations I heard feel a bit judgy, and that's not WAN. So we wanted to communicate something that felt lighthearted and open. And we got a ton of comments. We were at AHF Live in Chicago in November, and we had a boombox at our booth. We had a disco ball. We had a fuzzy pink carpet. And so many people, even folks who never heard of WAN before, wandered up and said, this is by far the best booth in the whole vendor hall. And they wanted to spend time talking with us. And I think, Millie, one of your ideas was just to put those cute stickers on the table, that people were entertained by those little stickers with inspirational messages. So we just wanted to create a different experience that made people want to be a part of us. And so it's not really about a color or a symbol or anything. It's a feeling.
Yeah. Angie, in terms of your origin story, I mean, I know that you connected with Ashley at some point, but I'm just curious to hear more about it, because obviously you, as Millie said, bring so much light and you're such an important part of what we're doing here. Did you have a feeling that it was going to develop into this? Like, how open was Ashley with you about?
Thanks for asking, Sadie. I've always felt like a big imposter in this group, because all of you have launched a chapter, led a chapter, dealt with all of the on-the-ground issues that a chapter has to deal with. And I'm this kind of outlier that you guys let me glom on to the team. But I'd reached out to Ashley because I knew there had to be an organization for women in affordable housing on a nationwide basis. And I Googled and I looked around, and the only thing I could find was the Atlanta Women's Affordable Housing Network. And so I subscribed to their newsletter. I joined their book club, which cracks me up because I hate to read. But I was just like, I want to be plugged in. And on one of the newsletters that I received, there was just a note that said, President Ashley Northcutt looking to start a national organization if anybody's interested in helping. And so I sent her an email and said, I have a weird skill set. If you can use help in any of these areas, let me know. And we got on a call, and kind of the rest was history. So,
wow, we are so lucky for that.
I feel lucky that you guys let me join in with you because you guys have done so much of the hard work.
I think that's one really cool part of seeing WAN grow is that it is no longer made up of, you know, just those of us who started chapters. And the more people that get involved, the more that, you know, maybe their initial excitement was on the chapter level, or maybe it was on a national level, or maybe it was connecting us with like groups and opportunities. Just very cool.
So I want to know, like, why? Why do we still get up early every other week? Why do we? It's a lot of extra effort. I mean, none of us are getting paid, at least on the, you know, the board level. Luckily, gosh, luckily we have a paid Andrea. Thank God. Can't say we'd be up a creek. But what interpersonal connections, like what are the other things that like really bring it home for you in terms of, I mean, you're still plugged into your chapter, Sadie.
Yeah. Well, I remember that when, again, after I had met Ashley and talked to you, Millie, I just had this feeling that it didn't have to be the case that the people around me in my direct professional community were so heavily male and also heavily white male, to be, you know, specific about that. So I think that that feeling still lives on. I mean, sure, there's been improvement incrementally, perhaps, but I still feel like there's so much work to be done on that front. And then in terms of staying connected with NC1, I've just always had so much hope that it will become as vibrant and as large and dynamic a group as Atlanta and Ohio have. Because there's just so much potential. I truly believe that our industry is so wide-reaching in terms of the different groups and organizations that it touches. And I love to see that happening more and more in North Carolina. Also meeting more people that I honestly never would have encountered in this work otherwise.
I know, all across the country, it's incredible. I just feel like, as women, or at least my, you know, I don't want to give away my own personal like story on here, but we just have so much more to give and we want to give. So you kind of like do your day job and you feel really, really good about that. But when you can come together with others, not just women, but others, and feel like you can do more or you can, you know, be creative, it's powerful. I know I personally felt like I sat behind a desk and I knew there were people out there that were benefiting from it, but I wasn't like feeling it then WAN.
I'm going to tell part of your story because passion is one of those things that brought me into affordable housing in general, but passion is what keeps me in WAN. And nobody's seen passion until they've seen Millie talk to a room full of people at 1:30 in the morning about her DEIB initiative called Network, National Equity Together Takes Work. I have never seen somebody so wound up and so excited and so just into it. I finally had to drag this woman who told me she doesn't like to stay out past like 9 because she's a mom and she needs her sleep. And I was like, Millie, hun, they're closing it down. Like, we're going to have to go to bed at some point. And so I loved watching her light a fire in every single person that she talked to. Aww. So I think it happens. I think it's just like we said earlier, it's a little spark and then it just grows and people share it. And I think that's why WAN.
Energies like come together and it has been so much fun. I think you probably be, and even my own husband, I'm telling him for a second, I think our organization may be about women versus men bashing the da 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 da. And no, it's really just about positive energy, empowerment, that feeling you get when you found your people and your tribe. And like, I know that we're all working in this industry. Some people have different jobs or whatever, but we all relate really well. And yeah, it's not any of those things that might seem on the surface from someone who is, you know, skeptical of the movement, which we call it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Millie brings up a good point. Sadie, the Ally Committee. I know it was on one of our calls where we kind of spit that out, but what does the Ally Committee do to kind of stay some of those misconceptions people might have about a movement generated by all women?
Yeah, that's been such an
important and exciting development within our committee work, I think, in the last year or so. I mean, I will always want all of our events and our membership to be open to women and allies, whatever their gender identity. But I do think there is something about now having an established committee made up of men specifically who are allies to our work that acknowledges that it's important support not only for their colleagues or friends or employees who may be participating in WAN, but this is for everybody. It is not just an effort to say, oh, hey, you know, I'm glad you're spending this time with a cause that's near and dear to your heart. It's about, no, this is to make and create change all across our industry, way outside of WAN. And Mark Shelburne, who I imagine many of our listeners is familiar with, who's a board member who's joined us this year and heads up our ally committee, is just such a wonderful example of that. I remember, I can't recall what conference it was specifically, but, you know, just being a voice, as he has been, that says, you don't have a woman on this panel, on this equity panel that you are putting on. Well, how about these the various women that work on the investor syndication side that would be really excellent additions. So hopefully, you know, we'll get to a point where that point doesn't need to be made as much as it does right now. But for in this moment, that's huge.
Yeah, you might have to rebrand us. That would take the women's out. And be, you know, I don't know what will be, but
No. There's too many things I do with the word WAN. So you can't take it away.
We can't change it now.
I like saying wonderful way too much. But yeah, speaking of Mark and our very first Ally Award winner, Kent Newman out of Tiber Hudson, I remember reading the nominations from all the women who supported him in that national award that we started giving away 2 years ago. He was our first winner. And reading all of the steps he took down to naming his law firm after the two rivers that intersect in and around where their office space is, as opposed to putting names on the door, because as a former practicing attorney and being in an environment that seem to say, if you're a woman who wants to have family, you can cross being a partner at a law firm off of your list. Reading what Kent has done to kind of create the environment where everybody can be successful was so inspiring to me. So I was so happy when we met him. It was at least my first time meeting him at AHF Live that year. We met Kent in the big bar upstairs in the hotel, and the big bar is open. And from the vantage point of walking down the stairs to get to the big bar, you saw a sea of black, green, and navy blue suits and a little bitty pot of pink. And that was where all of us had congregated to give Kent his award. And we laughed at just the visual representation of why we need to exist as an entity in our industry. Our little bitty pot of pink stood out amongst all of the other suits that were in the room. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, ladies, I know that we have so much to celebrate and so much to be proud of, but can you give me like one thing? Doesn't have to be just one, but one of your proudest moments or like just epiphany is like, oh my gosh, all this work we've put in, this has come to fruition. This is like, oh, is there something that's like you can grab onto?
I was at Illinois Housing Council's Affordable Housing Forum a couple weeks ago when we dropped our second WANcast episode with Tracy Scott, the CEO of Chicago Housing Authority. And I was in a room, it was my first time speaking on a panel, so super excited. But I was talking to a bunch of women who work for CHA. And I said, you know, Tracy's podcast drops this morning, right? And they were like, oh my gosh, yes, we're so excited. Do you know this is only the third podcast she has ever agreed to do in her entire career? And I was like, are you serious? And they said, yes, she was so excited about what you all are doing. And for me, I fangirl out over Tracy. And to hear that people everywhere are so excited that they're carving out time in their extremely busy schedule to speak to our membership about what we're doing and about what they're doing in the industry. And that was a very recent proud moment. There have been a ton, but that was a one that just came to mind. Well,
Angie, you had to figure all this WANcast stuff out. Like,
No, you leaned on people. Andrea Waldrop, our chief of staff, gets a huge shout out for negotiating all the technical back end of all of that. She's been phenomenal. And I know she's got assistance too, but she was the let's get it done girl on that.
We were talking about it a long time ago and you were really, I felt like you were the one pushing for it. And so all the branding for it is awesome. That's great.
Oh man. I mean, I will tell you that I'm still struggling having used the last 3 minutes while you were both speaking to think, but a few things come to mind. So one that is super recent is I recently reconnected with someone who does development and management here in North Carolina. And we were corresponding via email and she said to me, haven't we met before? And I was like, you know what? We have met before at one of the very first NC1 happy hours, you know, at this point, approaching 4.5 years ago. Wow. And that was exciting to me because it is evidence that we, through the work that we're doing at One, are making connections that are so meaningful to our work lives beyond One, whatever they might be. So that's one example. But other, you know, moments in time that just feel super powerful and special to me probably would be at some of gatherings, like that booth, you know, moments at AHF Live this past November, like Angie was describing, that fuzzy rug. Millie, we really missed you. Millie was there in spirit for our podcast.
I was literally crying at home.
But, you know, we were embodying Millie in our dance moves and in all of the conversations that we were having. I really didn't see any other booth that was drawing people there for the sake of conversation and connection and fun. You know, let's not forget that piece. So,
oh my gosh, we work so hard in this industry. Yeah. I think One is, I'm going to be honest, I am like my true blue 100% self. Get what you get. Don't pitch a fit. I show up. You guys have seen me, and this is probably the emotional part. You've seen me probably at some of the best times in my life, and you guys have seen me at some of the absolute lowest points in my life.
I was just,
and you were there for me the whole time.
We've had a lot of life changes just since our little board got together in 2021, right? Mm-hmm. We got babies. We got more babies. We've had job changes.
We've had
friends. Yeah. It's been great.
Living boyfriend.
Who are very good cooks. He's in there making dinner right now. I think I hear him. It's Taco Tuesday. No, I want to echo what Sadie was saying too about just being together. There's energy and people feel it. And the new boyfriend who we were just not, he's not even new boyfriend anymore. He's old boyfriend, but he comments that I always come down when I'm coming back from a One event. Like it takes me a while to get back into my regular rhythm because I'm almost like, I'm really, it is. It's a feeling like when you come off a vacation and it takes you a while to get back into the groove. It's the same thing when we get to spend time together and we get to talk about One and host events. And
And that's not just the national. I mean, I have that on our Ohio board too. Like those folks are my people here. The connections that I've made, at least personally, I think will last a lifetime, honestly, through thick, thin, like you said, job changes and the support that comes and the lack, you know, no judgment, but the person that's actually going to tell you to. Like, yeah, you deserve better. And that part, at least for me, has been incredible.
Yeah, Mel, I remember having that conversation with you after I dragged you out of the bar that was closing when you've been talking about network all night. And we got into a conversation before you turned your sound machine on to drown out my snoring. We had that exact conversation. So,
Melly, I really like what you said about bringing your whole self. I'm not sure how much of this will be picked up by audio, but I had to move rooms during this conversation while my husband feeds my 1.5-year-old in an adjacent space. It's creating quite a lot of noise. But I mean, yeah, no other call am I like bringing my baby onto my lap or I've breastfed during our board meetings. Certainly not doing that on any other calls that I'm on.
We always love to see it when you bring your babies on screen. They're growing up right in front of our eyes.
Ashley and I'll continue to use her saying, and she's like, I look like I just got let out of prison. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's actually like, that's how I look most of the So people get on our national lawn calls and I'm, you know, I just don't hide it. I'm like, this is it. You see the stuff in the background. You see, probably going to see my yoga pants. But that's what I love is there's no judgment. It's not, it's like the furthest thing from mean girls or whatever. But I mean, there's just a lot of authenticity.
I totally agree with that because I was just on a comms call earlier with all the chapter communications folks, and I had promised to send a survey out after our call a month ago, and I didn't get it done. And I told them, I said, I'm following the Ashley Northcutt philosophy of volunteer work. If it doesn't get done, we just move the deadline because none of us are getting paid, as you've said before, and we're just giving the time that we have. And in WAN, there's a place for anybody, whatever capacity you have, it's cool. Like, we're good with it. And I know that I've heard at least people who've had experience on other groups, there is some guilt there. There's some, you should do more, you should do more. But we have families, we have lives outside of this, and it's always understood. And when one of us needs to take a seat for a while because it's too much, somebody else stands up in her place. And that's always been
the relay. You just pass that baton.
It's exactly true. We all help each other out and there's never a, where the heck is Angie? It's, we know she'll get back up when she's able.
I just got goosebumps because every single one of us has had those moments, those life challenges, those moments. And we've never all been in the same place. That's still
one
remains.
Of these days, one of these days it'll happen. If you guys keep having babies during conference time. So
I actually was going to say, we need to have like WAN babies and like have people submit their pictures of their babies. So we need to brand that and that'll be all.
I love that.
Like series.
Create a task for me. We'll get it done.
I know. Always something new for Angie to put together for us. But is there anything we should have done differently?
That's an interesting question.
You guys didn't want canned questions. So you guys are going to get
it.
That question strikes me as like, it's interesting because I think my answer would be, yes, sure, we could have done things differently, but not necessarily to a better outcome. We've learned so much along the way. I think, as we were talking about earlier, what we've accomplished in the last 4 years is pretty incredible. I do, like, I wonder this for all groups that have been around longer than WAN that are these sort of grassroots efforts that have grown, like how you figure out the balance between capacity and inspiration and drive to do more and more and more. We've never lacked that, that's for sure. But it's hard sometimes to know if we're biting off more than we can chew. And we do, and then we get
usually
right.
or sometimes the ideas like She Speaks. I mean, that was an idea that was like almost immediately out of the gate. And here we are a couple years later and actually have the technology to launch it. And it's fabulous and it's well received and much needed. We're full of ideas. We just need sponsors so that we can pay more people to actually implement all of our ideas. So,
yeah.
Do you guys have any questions for each other? Do you have any like final thoughts?
No, I just remember the first time I got to meet Sadie like in person. I was so happy because we talk so often, especially in that first year. And then I know, you know, you were busy bringing a new life into the world and making sure he was doing good. And there was definitely a gap there where we were like, we really miss Sadie. So everybody's presence was important and valued. And, you know, getting to meet you in person was just awesome. And then getting to celebrate your birthday and singing. And if anybody's been to Chicago and been to the Redhead Piano Bar, that is the place I insist we go every time we're in town. And we celebrated Sadie's birthday. And I spent a ridiculous amount of money trying to get, what song was it that you wanted to even hear, Sadie? I can't remember now.
Oh my gosh. I can't either. But you did. You paid a lot of money.
But I kept Venmoing the piano bar lady more money because I was like, it's Sadie's birthday. Play the song. So by the end of it, it was a quite expensive song, but it was fun and it was a great memory. And yeah, Millie, we missed you.
And I will miss the summit. So that's going to be a bummer, but I'll be there in spirit. That's and it. I expect you guys will be on the floor at 1:30 in the morning, pitch in pay equity and bearing equal parental leave on my behalf.
Ask me about network. Yes. Ask me about network and Millie's honor.
My face on a pen, I'm sure. One thing that did come to mind that I know we're probably wrapping up soon, but we haven't always agreed. And sometimes, whether it's in your organization or your family or your home or whatever, you disagreements that just fester and people get, irritated, and it can break down relationships. And we definitely have not always agreed, but nobody takes sides and nobody gets mad and nobody hangs on to anything. And nobody, there's still no ego to it. And all of the ideas are always welcome. I said the other day in a meeting, because I'll spitball ideas all day long. And I actually used to be in a situation where I was told to I needed to not talk as much.
Did that go over well?
Oh, I loved it.
I can't imagine that you sat still for that one.
Right. I'm like, my uncle always had a saying, unless you have another idea, sit down and shut up, So I've always felt like I could bring those ideas. We may not always agree on that, whatever, but I just wanted to point that out so our listeners know that it's not always rainbows and sunshine and wonderful, but that at the end of the day, there's just so much respect. And that's how we get the best outcome, is by having all of those opinions. And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that element of authenticity to the conversation.
You're welcome. I'm usually the dissenter anyway, so it's fine.
It is so unique. I mean, first of all, there aren't that many relationships, professional or otherwise, that I have out there where I feel so comfortable to share when I don't agree with something or when I think we need to unpack something more. And I think you both, for the record, have excellent delivery. I'm often a little bit more gun shy of being direct in that way, but you two are such good role models for me in terms of how to share that kind of feedback constructively. I'm learning from that.
I don't know if I have the constructive part down, but
I know Sadie, I think, is the ultimate diplomat, because we can always count on you to listen to all opinions. And then whatever answer you give is without emotion or ego tied to it, just like Millie said. And it's always oh yeah, that's the right answer. It's almost like if Millie and I are on polar opposites of an issue, Sadie thinks about it, weighs in, and then we're both like, all right, you're right. And then we just move on. So, I think it's always been a great balance with all of us being able to talk about anything.
Yeah. I think it is also emblematic of how important the cause is for all of us. Surely there are things that I've encountered in my life where it gets hard. I just don't care enough to see it through or to make it over that barrier. I've never felt that way with Juan. Always is worth a hard conversation or some challenging work that we might need to do as a board to figure out where we go next.
That's a good point. Well, ladies, it's been an incredible couple of years, and I know we still have a few because we're all committed for a while yet. I just want to say, thanks for being my friend.
One of your people. Oh, thank you, Millie. And I don't think we have to go. I think we wrote a clause in there that allows us to stay on forever.
Stay around forever.
No. In some capacity. I'll be that, person after high school that keeps coming back to the football games and everybody's like, why won't she just go? But yeah, I think you guys
are. I always need a cheerleader.
You guys are pretty awesome, though.
So. For sure. Well, I'm going to wrap us up and just say thanks. You heard it today from a couple of the OGs. The national board came together with an idea, some experience, a lot of creativity, and here we are. And we've got a long ways to go, and we're going to have some fun along the way. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode. Might be me. You don't know who we're going to interview next, but we do appreciate you guys, though. So. That's
thanks,
all.
Thank you, Millie. Thank you, Sadie.